her hometown. They seemed intentional at the time. A warning, maybe. Or a vulgar homage to three different bullets that had taken a much deadlier trajectory. But even barreling down Highway 20 at 60 miles an hour in the raw black of a February night, Juniper could see that the sign had become a target of sorts. At least a dozen holes had been punched through the metal, and the indentations of buckshot dimpled the gaping O. A shot-up welcome sign was certainly an inauspicious reception. She could hardly believe that in all these years, the city council had never bothered to replace it. But she harbored no illusions that her return to Jericho would be a happy homecoming. It was why she timed her arrival for the middle of the night and told Cora to slip the house key in the mailbox of the bungalow. Juniper had rented it, sight unseen, on a 6-month lease. She doubted she'd make it that long. Even over a dozen years later, and in the dark, Juniper knew the layout of Jericho by heart. The population was just shy of 4,000, and the streets were arranged on a grid, so Cora hadn't bothered to provide an address. "It's the McAvoy's old place. One story, blue, tiny front porch, a block from the library. You know the one, right?" She did. Navigating the abandoned streets, she felt her skin prickle against the familiarity of a town she hadn't seen in years. Little had changed. Main Street was shuttered and quiet, gray snow piled against the sides of businesses that she had frequented as a kid. Juniper could almost feel the cracking sidewalks beneath her feet, the slant of concrete where the roots of gnarled trees had bubbled up. She used to burst into Cunningham's Cafe clutching a $5 bill. Cold Coke and hot, salty French fries, the backs of her bare legs glued to the green vinyl booth. The sticky sweet memory felt like it was from someone else's childhood. Beside the cafe was a secondhand store, then, in quick succession, a rundown Dollar General, a Kirby vacuum dealer, and a small animal vet. Across the street, there was the eye doctor, the bakery, a mom-and-pop hardware, and a shoe store that had been boarded up, windows plastered with faded "for sale" signs. That was it. All of Jericho in the blink of an eye. At one end, right before the corner where Highway 20 intersected Main, was the library. Just the sight of it made Juniper's heart unclench a bit, and she released the breath that she hadn't realized she was holding. Cora had offered her a reason wrapped up so neatly she had no choice but to accept. A perfectly packaged rationale to come home. Because the town seemed abandoned, Juniper didn't bother to flick on her blinker when she turned at the end of the street. The small blue house was just where she knew it would be. It, too, hadn't changed much, and she could almost picture Harriet McAvoy rocking in her chair beside the front door. But the porch was empty, freshly shoveled, and someone had left the floodlight on. For just a moment, the golden glow of it mingled with the sudden flash of red and blue in her rearview mirror. But Juniper's foot was already on the brake, her subconscious aware of what was happening even before she turned her head and realized there was a police cruiser behind her. It was the first car that she had seen in nearly an hour. "Perfect," she groaned, easing to the side of the road instead of into the driveway of her new rental. She threw the transmission into park and fumbled in the glove compartment for her papers, cursing under her breath. Of course, her first few minutes back would end in a ticket, in a confrontation with the sort of small-town police officer who made her skin feel tight and itchy, even all these years later. Just as she located the little plastic folder with her papers, a shadow darkened the driver's side window, and gloved knuckles rapped against the glass. He was talking as the window rolled down, but Juniper knew the drill. "License and registration, please." "Sorry, officer," Juniper responded,